Copenhagen Spit Free packs American-grown tobacco into pouches made for when your elbow's deep in an engine block, or masked up, torching deep cuts into stubborn pipes, or helmets on, riding deep into backcountry. When there's no time or space to spit, grab Copenhagen Spit Free pouches. Find them in stores today. Not all varieties available in all geographies. Warning, smokeless tobacco is addictive.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Anna Glavinsky on TRE in the Afternoon.
And very shortly, we're going to be speaking all about karma. So, you know, how do you alleviate karmic debt, for example? And can karma, is it just something that we can work on in this lifetime, or does it hit in other lifetimes as well? There's so much to this topic. And somebody who's got the answers, is at least his beliefs on those answers, is joining me on the line right now. He's written a book about it called Face to Face with Karma, Your Guide to Fate and the Grand Law of Karma. And it's by Dr. Rick Neu, who's joining me right now. Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
Hello, my dearest Anna. Thank you so much for having me on your talk show. I'm really happy to be here today.
Yeah, it's really, really great to have you. You know, why are you so interested in karma specifically? Where did you very first get your interest from?
Right. So I have been studying spirituality for the past 10 years or so. So to me, my having looked at the scriptures from different traditions, right, you start to realize that they all converge on similar messages of love and unity. And one of the things that I feel humanity in general has not, or has been a big blockage for humanity in general, has been a misunderstanding of karma. So the premise of karma is really very simple, that whatever you do to others, you do to yourself on the highest level. So but this simple message that have been spread and shared, you know, across different traditions, right? Every single religion and tradition have a certain way of conveying the same message. But for some reason, you know, humanity or our society in general has not, hasn't really internalized or understood this message. So I thought, going back to the basics and explaining karma in a way that it's, you know, very basic and very straightforward and easy, it's something that it's really important for society right now. Because again, because so long as we do not understand that what we do to others hurts ourselves, right, we will continually be stuck in a loop of self-inflicted suffering. So, but yeah, that's really the key premise of what I wanted to share in my book today.
And why do you think it's so important in today's society? And why do you think, you know, you just said there that we haven't understood the learnings and the teachings of karma in today's society. Why would you say that, as opposed to say that perhaps today's society has left it behind? We've evolved beyond it, and we've found other ways, perhaps even better ways, or I'm not saying that we are, but, you know, for play devil's advocate here, of approaching life and spirituality.
Absolutely. Good question, my dear. So because the key teaching is that because what we do to others, right, we do to ourselves. But if this isn't respected, right, so if our behavior does not respect such a key fundamental spiritual premise, right, then we are going to continually inflict increasing and greater suffering for ourselves without even realizing how these sufferings are being acquired. So again, right, the key thing really is to bring, give the power back to the people and explain to all of us that whatever, you know, difficulties we have in our lives, right, it's all on a higher level, self-inflicted. And it's all on a higher level, something that we can overcome as long as we accept that perhaps, you know, if we are born in certain circumstances, right, okay, you know, we you know, Christ likes to say it is like the cross that we carry, right? The burden that we carry. Sure, we accept that some circumstances are due to the actions we have taken in the past, but we strive to change our actions and act from love from the present. And it's from this, it's from the present, right, that we can recreate or we can shape our future. So the key, so karma is not something that's deterministic, or it's not something that it's almost like a destiny or like a fate that you cannot escape from. Because the key teaching of karma is that you hold in, or all of us hold the power to shape our destiny in our hands. And it begins from the choices that we make in the present moment. So, so understanding this, right, would allow humanity in general to break free of the loops of suffering that we have caught ourselves up with over, you know, the past decades and hundreds of years even. So, and it's our flawed understanding of seeing this perspective, right? Understanding that whatever we do to others, we do to ourselves, that perpetuates continued cycles of suffering. So yes, you know, society has been improving technologically, but I'm sure you have realized around us in society, happiness in general has been on a decline. And it's really because we have lost our spiritual foundations and our spiritual roots.
And you mentioned about reaching a higher level and feeling these things on a higher level. What do you mean by that?
Could you rephrase the question again?
The question is, what is a higher level? What do you mean by when you're talking about, you know, feeling things or achieving things at a higher level? What does that mean?
Right, right. Absolutely, my dear. So all of us, right, humanity has been caught in a very materialist perspective of life. You know, we come onto Earth and we think that, oh, the point of life is to, you know, go to school, get a good grade, get a good job, get a family, buy a house, and then retire. So that has been, there's nothing wrong with that perspective, but that's only one understanding of how life is led. So when I was referring to a high level, so I was referring to how we can see things from a broader perspective, that life is not just about the material chase, but it's about understanding that there's something called past lives and there's something called future lives, and that our current life is just one chapter in the continuum of hundreds of lifetimes that we choose to incarnate on Earth within. So yes, that's what I really wanted to share concerning like how human beings in general view life. So it's not just a purely material one. Yes, that's one perspective and that's a beautiful one. But after many cycles of seeking and experiencing a purely materialist life, we are all awakening. You know, there are many, many souls around us, myself and I'm sure yourself and many of your listeners included. We're all realizing that the point of life is not simply to, you know, chase the material world, right? Like all the scriptures admonish us to, store up real treasures, with treasures in heaven, rather than chase the material. Because as we all know, once we pass away, right, whatever the material accumulations that we have, we are not able to bring it with us. So it is the amount of consciousness growth that we have and the amount of how much we have loved. These are the attributes that we can bring over at the point of our death. So this is what I wanted to, you know, center. And this is what I want to bring across in society's conversation, because I think, again, even as we have grown technologically, huge technological advances, but it is this lack of reconnection with our spiritual roots as human beings that have caused a lot of suffering, that have perpetuated a lot of suffering in modern society.
And talking about karma, very specifically about that word karma and how people can apply it in their daily lives, I think people might have an understanding that you do something good, you get good stuff. You do something bad, you get bad stuff. How simplified is that understanding of it? And how quickly are you expecting people to see reap rewards of, you know, good behavior or whatever? You know, explain to us the depths of that word.
This is an excellent question, my dear. So karma comes from the Sanskrit word. I think it's kamon. So essentially the word means action. So the key fundamental premise of karma is that it is a law of not of punishment, but of consequence. So it is a very agnostic law. So whatever you do to others on a higher level, we do to ourselves. So there are fundamental spiritual premises behind this, because the law of one on the highest level shows that we are all connected on the highest level. So if you hurt others, right, think of it as your left hand hurting your right hand. It'll all come back to you in that eventually. So a very simple understanding of karma has been in society, you know, we think of it as like a law of punishment. You know, do good deeds and you'll be rewarded accordingly. Do good bad deeds and you'll be hurt accordingly. But it is not so simplistic in a sense, because the point of karma, right, is to allow the expansion of consciousness, to allow souls to achieve a variety of experiences. So yes, you can come up, if we are in search of perhaps dark experiences, right? If we are seeking to, if a soul is seeking for an experience in which the soul hurts another soul, right? Okay, fine. So that is an experience that is allowed on earth. But the corollary of that is that because you have hurt others, right, your soul is also seeking an experience of being hurt in turn. So yes, you can hurt others, but by hurting others, you accumulate karma in which requires your soul to experience an equivalent episode of being hurt in turn. So the key point of this, right, is to allow your soul to have a wide range of experiences, including both being the perpetrator and also being the victim as well. So having experienced both cycles of the experience, right, being hurt and being hurting others and being hurt in turn, right, our souls would grow and learn from the experience and therefore achieve an expansion of consciousness. So this is really the key the key rationale and the key workings of karma. It's not a law of punishment. It's, you know, God is not like a vengeful, you know, wrathful God saying that, oh, I created you with free will, but you can't do the things, certain things. No. God loves us unconditionally. And this, again, is a key message from every single religion and every single master. The difference is that whatever we do, we accumulate consequences. So this is something to be very clear on. Again, you are free to do whatever you want, but that whatever you do will incur the consequences of your actions. So I'll tie back to the key message here is that karma, it's not a law of punishment, but a law of consequence. So, and the purpose of karma is to allow our souls to experience a wide variety, a wide range of experiences, all of which are blessed and loved by our creator, by source on the highest level. So again, there's no judgment in what you do, except that whatever you do, we must be very mindful that that will occur and similar and equivalent experience back to ourselves. So how do we work with karma on a very practical level is to be extremely mindful, to understand that always put yourself in, you know, the other person's shoe as you act on the person. Understand that whatever you do to the person, right, there'll be a, you know, corresponding effect back to yourself, and always try to act from a place of love. So we always have a choice on our actions, right? And like Christ says, it's always a matter of choosing between love or fear. So again, the key thing is to be very mindful that, you know, this is a interconnected universe. So actions have consequences, and always do your best to act in love. So this is a more in-depth explanation of what karma is, aside from, you know, common societal understandings of it being simply, you know, a law of punishment.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a useful understanding, but not exactly very accurate.
Mm-hmm. And how would you reconcile that in today's society where, you know, the nice guy finishes last? That phrase goes around, nice guy finishes last, because, you know, often when you're gentler, you're kinder, you're not so ambitious, you're not such a fighter, you don't get the good things in life. And then somebody will be living this life now and seeing somebody who is really horrible to them at school go on and do really, really well in life in terms of, you know, they get the big house, they get the big jobs.
This is a fantastic observation. Great question, Diana. So, so the key thing to understand is that there's a concept of a mature soul and a younger soul, mature and younger souls. So Earth is a place in which young souls are here to accumulate experience of separation. Again, Earth is considered an arena or reality in which younger souls get to explore how it feels like to hurt others and to be hurt in turn. So again, if you can conceptualize heaven, right, we understand that heaven to be a place in which we cannot hurt other people, because we know we're all connected, we know we are brothers and sisters. So only in the context of Earth, right, can we hurt other people. So coming from this understanding, right, now we understand, okay, so if souls are here to explore that experience of separation to hurt other people, right, then karma would, it's almost like karma will be delayed for them, or it will not be as instantaneous for them, because for them, right, they are doing exactly what they're meant to do. They are coming on Earth and they are here to explore suffering. You are here to explore hurting others and to be hurt in turn. And this is exactly what Earth is intended to do, to give them that arena of experience. So therefore, karma would not be as obvious or punitive. But this is in contrast to mature souls like us, where we are here to awaken to our true nature, to our true self as part of God. So in that case, right, when we are on the arc of ascension, right, karma would be rapid to us because we want to work off our karma and to continue our awakening process, our awakening journey. So a very common observation would be like, oh, there'll be people who earn a lot of money without seeming to work hard for it. So we understand that every single hair is counted. You know, again, this is repeated many times in scripture. So there might be cases in which things appear to be unfair, but trust, have faith in God and understand that on the wider level, right? Every soul is seeking and getting the experiences they're here to get on earth. And that if the person is hurting other people or taking from other people unfairly, right? This will all occur back to themselves eventually. But my last message in addition to that, right, is that we are not here to be victims as well as mature souls. So we are not here to self-sacrifice ourselves just to be the better person. So being loving to other people, right, includes being loving to ourselves as well. So if, for example, we are called to be to give so much and to give excessively to the extent of hurting ourselves, right, that's not what we are asked to do as well. So the key thing is to always love others as we love ourselves rather than sacrificing all that we have to give to other people. And then that will cause suffering for ourselves. So this is actually a very prominent problem if we look into, how immigration is handled in many Western countries, right? In the US and even in parts of Europe where infrastructure seems to be crumbling, you know, because there isn't enough resources to support things like huge waves of immigration. So the key thing to understand is that yes, as mature souls, we must love other people and we're asked to love other people, but it should not come at the expense of self-sacrifice. So that's why I wanted to share concerning cases of scenarios of what appears to be unfair karmic outcomes for different people.
And that leads me to sort of my final question on karma then, which is, you know, we've been talking about how individuals can act and live their lives in accordance with karma. Is there such thing as collective karma? So could a family gather good karma around itself, or nations, you know, you're talking about immigration there, or then, you know, and then put that to the bigger step to humanity as a whole?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So we all start with what we call individual karma. So our souls and our actions we have taken over this life and previous lifetimes, right, occur and create certain habits for ourselves that we are asked to unwind. So that's one. But within communities, right, we also have what we call, as what you very astutely mentioned, collective karma. So for example, if I'm born in a community of, maybe I'm born in China, for example, then I'm asked to help the Chinese community, or I'm born with certain attributes and characteristics that will incline me to behave in a certain way that might not be good, that I'm asked to help break free from. I'll give you a quick example. So stereotypically, right, we understand Chinese to be very submissive and subservient. You know, we are very good people, you know, we listen to the government. So this can be a good thing, but it has been too imbalanced already in the sense that, oh, it's very easy for the Chinese people to be controlled by the government, for example. So by being born in, for example, China, right, a person would be asked to, yes, unwind his own karma, but also help unwind collective karma around different groups and different communities. So going back to the example of the Chinese people, right, so one could say that as someone born in China, right, in addition to his individual karma, he's asked to also understand that giving up your sovereignty and power to external authorities, right, it's not something that that you should do freely. You know, you must always be mindful when you give authority and power away without questioning, for example. So this can include, so there are collective communities karmically. So it include family as well as what you mentioned. So I'm sure you've heard of the term black sheep of the family or ancestral karma, in which, for example, if my family has been running an empire that has been exploiting people, right? So as an awakened soul, right, my duty is to try to modify my family's business in a way that gives back more to the society instead of continued exploitation. And then this applies to things like racial karma, national karma, or country level karma. So yes, definitely karmic energies is something that extends beyond the individual. But But the key thing is that it all starts on the individual level. So focus on accepting the things that we cannot change, understanding it to be the cross that we have to bear because of our past actions and consciousnesses. But it's okay. We can always take action in the present. And that is by being extremely mindful of our actions and trying to always act in love, unconditional love, as far as possible. So by doing so, right, we very quickly begin to unwind so-called the sins of our father. So one more thing that I'll share to everyone concerning karma would be, we can ask for karma to be unwinded. So in our prayers or when we pray, right, we can always say, okay, we are ready to serve God, or we are ready to unwind or the karma. We are ready to awaken. So you can ask for karma to be expedited and for you to unwind or pay back, not pay back necessarily, but to unwind any karmic energies that you have acquired. So this, again, is subject to free will. So if we are ready, we can make that prayer request. And as we ask, so shall it be given. Knock and the door shall open. So definitely collective karma is very real and exists. But our priority would always be individual level first.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to explain that so clearly. And just moving on to the book itself now. Why did you feel that it was so important to get it out there? What's the underlying message that you wanted to get across in this book?
Right. Again, the book really was inspired by a series of visions that I had. So I went on a few ayahuasca plant medicine journeys, right? And during the first few sessions, right, I continually received visions from karma, from a lot of karma. So so I share my experience in the book, and it was given almost like as a an understanding for me to disseminate to others. So again, the key point about karma is that we are our greatest obstacle and we are our greatest liberators. So we, each of us, hold within our hands the ability to liberate ourselves from negative or conditions of suffering and pain in our lives. So again, karma shapes our destiny because, for example, being born in a certain family, right, could be said to be a result of our karmic things that we've accumulated in the past, for example. But it's from the present that we can shape our future path, our destiny going ahead. So that's how we can navigate. And so the key point about karma is that it's a very empowering message. It's not nihilistic. It's not deterministic. It's not, it's not about giving up or surrendering to fate. It's about accepting that you yourself have caused your current predicaments or situations. And by that vein, right, it's about understanding that you yourself have the ability to liberate yourself from any adverse consequence or conditions that you're facing. So again, it's about, and it comes down to a very simple message that you are responsible for your conditions, and to change your conditions is simply a matter of taking actions in love. It's about being mindful when you act, when you speak, when you work with others, when you take from others, even the things that we shop, right? Diet that we eat, being very mindful where possible in order to reduce suffering and to choose actions out of love for other people and for yourself as much as possible.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's all we have time for now. We've just been speaking to Dr. Rick Neo, and his book is called Face to Face with Karma, Your Guide to Fate and the Grand Law of Karma. So you can find that on Amazon or on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop. Dr. Rick, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much, Anna. All the love and all the blessings.
Bye.